thy throne of mercy. Page 45 in the Only Believe. It's key of G. Leaning on lasting arms.
What a fellow. I've already scotched my tires, Pastor Moore. Because I sang that song, and he said, that's our testimony when we sing. You know, and I was just thinking, the words of that song, the words of the songs we've been singing, I scotch my testimony as I'm singing those things. Amen. And the what we get when we come in here, you can't put a price tag on that. Oh my goodness, I just love this thing with all my heart. Amen. And I just am proud to be identified.
Amen. Amen. Sing page 211.
I'm just grateful to be here. I was gonna. I'm just grateful. And I'm so thankful for this word. And I'm so grateful for just all the blessings and prayers. You know, I pray that they continue to come. I'm just thankful.
Amen.
It's page 211 in the choruses. Kia G, give up.
I just want to give God some flowers. one of the things that I've been battling is my shoulder. I've had it prayed for. I'm healed. That's it. End of story. No ifs, buts, or anything. I'm healed.
Amen.
Okay, and I say that because God told me that I'm going to continue playing my horn. You know what, Brother Moore? The shoulder, I had x-rays done. The shoulder, according to the doctor, the x-ray said that my right shoulder's got a little touch of arthritis. My left shoulder's fine. But my left shoulder is the one that's bothering me the most. And I had that prayed for. So I know it's a done deal. I'm healed. Yeah. But until then, I'm just going to keep playing my horn. My left horn is, my left shoulder is supporting the weight of the horn. It bothers me, but I'm just going to play through it. I know I'm healed.
Amen.
God said, I'm going to keep playing the horn. So that just means that demon's got to go. He's a liar. That's my testimony, and I too am scotching my tires. Yes. I may not sing all the time. I play my horn, but I play it along with the body. I'm just playing my testimony through my instrument. Every now and then, I may get the courage, if I feel led, to get up here and sing a song. But I'll just continue playing my horn until then. So, God's good.
I got to get in here. Better be fast right here.
That's right.
I just wanted to just have you guys, just ask everybody in the body, just think about Brother John DeJesus. He's been going through a lot of, pain, bodily pain. And poor guy, he's really been working with me real hard on this job. It's a really big job and bigger than both of us can handle. But we took it on, and we've had our ups and downs. But God has literally shown Himself, and our client's really happy. And I just ask that you guys just really keep him in your prayers and stuff. And he's like my right hand man on this thing, and I can't do it without him. I just wanted to say, I'm happy to be a free man. What pastor preached, it was just, oh my goodness. And I'm just so happy to be here.
Amen.
Bless.
Amen. Let's say just a little something before it all gets cut off. I was logging into a website today, a retirement account, and they said, your voice is your login. First time I heard of that. And they had me repeat a few phrases, over and over to recognize my voice. And said, that's my login, my voice. And I thought, something to that. So I figured I better log in tonight.
Amen.
And after, after you say a little something, you feel part of the service.
Yes.
You feel like you've contributed a little bit.
That's right.
And, I don't like being here and just sitting on the sidelines. I don't like football, sorry. Because it's a spectator sport. I'm not playing. I'm just rooting for everybody else that I don't even know, so I get bored and go home, which I did Sunday night. But anyway, I like to be involved. This is me. He said I could be involved. He said it was for me. He said everything he did was for me. And you say, well, you take it personally. Well, you got to. It's a personal revelation, personal understanding. And they were talking about believing. you know, for your healing and not accepting anything else. Well, the Bible don't tell you to do anything else. Just believe it, right. You know, and you have what you ask for. Right. You know, that's all I got to go on. As far as what he said, now the devil's going to say all kinds of things, but that's all I got to go on. That's the only thing I'm required to believe. And as a believer, that's what I hold to. I'm thankful for an understanding like this. It gives such a perfect balance, a perfect rest. Amen. Every time I come here, the Lord straightens out my thinking a little bit more. Amen. Helps me to see him a little more clear. Helps me to understand myself even a little bit more.
Amen, Lord.
You know, I said a couple weeks ago that, you know, in order to see where God's at, you got to see what he's doing. Now, a lot of people, you know, oh, God's in his body. God's, you know, by the Holy Ghost and everything. But, you know, they don't really know what he's doing.
No.
You know, how he's living day by day by day.
Amen.
You know, out through a many-membered body.
Right.
You know, they're constantly trying to get everybody to act the same. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not God.
No.
If he wanted to do that, he'd make one body.
That's right.
But he wanted a many-membered body because everybody's a little different.
Amen.
And he can manifest himself a little bit different in every part of the body.
That's right.
And,
Amen.
You know, it's not that... The whole word is in me. The whole Son of Man is in me. But the Son of Man is completely in the body.
Amen.
And he'll manifest him here and there throughout the body and manifest himself his word for this day.
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate that. That's got so bright to me, past few services. I mean, even, you know, talking about the Godhead, you know, which how many times have I heard it preached, you know? But this last time going through it, I thought, wow, that does include me.
Amen.
Amen.
Page 211. By way of announcements, this Sunday we're going to Brother Peterson's church. We'll be leaving out of here at 9 a.m. Tonight we got Brother Jerry preaching. So we'll get Pastor Moore up after this song and looking forward to it.
Amen, amen.
Give up. Key of G. G. It says key of G in here. 211 in the courses. Give up.
Oh,
sorry.
Amen, Lord. I like this song. I said, I like this. Thank you, Jesus.
Maybe not. Amen, boy.
Okay.
Amen. Burdens. your chair, just kneel down. I know he can, and he'll make a way somehow. So
give up,
and let Jesus, take hold. Won't you give up? Let Jesus take all. Oh, let us give up and let Jesus take all. Just give up and let Jesus take all. Seated. Give up. It's all you got to do. Quit fighting it. You know, the thing about a believer, we believe God, but we have to fight our flesh to believe God. Because when you look at the circumstances, if your faith doesn't outweigh the circumstances, you're in trouble. That's what Peter ran into. Peter was okay as long as he had his eyes on Jesus. His faith was right. His walk was right. He was literally walking on water. People don't realize that. They think, well, Peter got out there and he just fell. No, Peter walked.
Amen.
He was actually walking on water.
That's right.
But then he started looking around at circumstances. Never pay attention to circumstances. Because whenever you start focusing on circumstances versus the word, you're in trouble.
Right.
You say, well, I got a code. You might have a code, and you really do.
Right.
Brother Branham said, don't act like you're not sick. You really are.
Yeah.
It is real. So don't just act like, oh, I don't have it. No, you got it.
Right.
But the thing is, you need to focus on the word of God. Because
right.
His promise is said, by His stripes I'm healed.
Man.
Right.
So if that's what His promise said, I can look at the promise or I can look at the circumstances.
Amen.
And I say, well, I'm still sick. But I'm still worried about that. I'm going to keep my eye on the promise.
Right.
So that's how you do it. Peter, had he kept his eye on the promise, he would have walked across the water.
Yes.
If you keep your eye on the promise, I don't care what the circumstances look like, because God is obligated to His word.
Yes.
It's His word that moves Him. It's not your goodness and because you're going to butter Him up. It's because His word said so.
Yes.
You know, that centurion said, Jesus, I got a sick servant, but I don't want you to come to my house. I'm a man of authority, and I know how the word works.
Yeah.
See, we need to tell the devil, Satan, we know how the word works.
Yeah.
And when God's word is spoken,
yes,
he don't have to physically go somewhere.
No.
The word will go there.
Yeah.
That's what the centurion said. He said, just speak the word.
Right.
I'm going to have confidence and faith in the word that you speak.
Yes.
And what you say will come to pass.
Right.
So no matter what your problem is, just give up.
Man.
Just give up and trust His word. And He'll make a way somehow. You know, sometimes I get nervous. This week I was getting nervous, and I'm like, Lord, I just got to trust you. Because, you know, you get all this stuff on you, and you're thinking, I got to do this, got to do that, and you get all nervous. You know, settle down. Just trust him.
Right.
You know, trust him. Let him have it. He'll work it out. He'll make it work. He knows what he's doing. He'll make a way somehow. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I ain't preaching tonight. I just open things up. Just getting a little moisture in the air.
Yeah.
You know, you got to eat and drink, as Brother Childers used to say. You got to have a little bread, but bread alone is dry. Dry bread. Have you ever eaten dry bread by itself? You can do it, but it's going to scratch all the way down. But you take a little bread and put a little liquid with it, little water with it.
Oh, yeah.
And they both work well together.
Amen.
So I'm just putting a little water on it. Brother Allen's going to bring the bread. So we're going to turn it over to him because he's got some singers. He's got this. I've just got this land up here, Brother Allen. You can just come and get this. And then whatever you want to do,
amen.
It's on you. God bless you.
Amen.
Brother Jerry Allen from Little Bethlehem. Hamilton, Ohio.
God bless you, sir.
Love you. Yeah.
Love you too. Appreciate you.
Put that somewhere in one of your pockets.
Hey, man, it's good to be here.
Man.
Brother Moore's already got this turned on.
It's on. I turned it on.
Okay.
It's ready to work. Ready to go.
Is everyone happy?
Yeah.
Man.
We are happy to be here. And I've been nervous this week, too. Last time Brother Moore and were down, before I forget it, Brother James came down and ministered for us and done such a beautiful job.
Man.
And wanted to brag on him, and he's not here. I don't guess he is.
Pray for him. He's in the hospital right now.
Oh, I did. Okay. We'll do that. We'll trust the Lord for his healing. And so it's good to be here, and we got quite a few out tonight. Just real quick, we got Brother Jim, Sister Ron, and Sister Pence with us tonight.
Amen.
And we got my Sister Peggy and Brother Tom's with us, Gary,
amen.
And Mike showed up. We got
amen.
David with
amen.
Us, and
amen.
And hopefully we got my wife, Lisa,
amen.
Sister Nora.
Amen.
And almost overlooked her. Don't want to do that.
Can't do that.
And, it's good to see my grandchildren and Sister Elise and Jeremiah sitting back here playing the bass. All the music sounding pretty good.
Man.
Warren, you keep playing that horn.
Man.
God gave you that.
Amen.
And you let him be the one that takes it away from you.
Amen.
You don't let devil take it away from you. And if it's time to lay it down, it'd be time, but you keep playing that. You do
that's
that
right.
For the Lord.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, don't ever confess that you've got weak faith.
No,
right.
Don't ever confess that.
Man.
Always confess that you've got strong faith.
Amen.
Amen. You ready to sing, Brother David?
Man.
It's good to be here. I got myself in trouble the last time Brother Moore was down at the church. I said, I think I got a message to bring to you. So it got me in trouble, so I'm here tonight. But Brother Moore could went right ahead. And it's good to see everyone out. Brother Eric, Brother Mike, it's good to see
amen.
You. Good to see everyone. Amen. Go ahead, Brother David.
Let's do Kia G. Don't you worry, little children. Should death knock on your door, don't you know that death is a doorway that leads. Perfect love, peace, and joy beyond compare. One day I'm gonna take a step to what might be theophany. One day I'm gonna take another step to my theophany. One day I know the final step is going to set
There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. But the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead me o'er. And if it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would sail.
One thing about light, it doesn't stop moving.
Amen.
And you know what you got to do? You got to keep moving with the light.
Amen.
Amen. Light in darkness. It's gross darkness out there now. But it's light in here.
Amen.
You better be thankful where light's at. And if you know who you are, you better be thankful for that. Amen. God knows what He's doing with you. Amen. He knows how to get the job done. And nothing can stop Him from doing His job. Amen. It's good to be here. I'm happy right now. Everything's going to be okay now. God's on the scene. Do you believe that? He's here now. Let's have some church. Amen. I'm happy. Let's bow our hearts for a moment. Lord Jesus, we're thankful for this atmosphere that we've walked into tonight, Lord, this evening. It means a lot to us, Lord, of the testimonies, the songs. Brother Moore got excited, Lord, and I thought, well, just keep right on preaching. It's been okay with me, Lord, but here we are, Lord. We got a job to do. And Lord, we trust you that you will anoint the speaking and you will anoint the ears. Lord, let it be your anointing that comes and does the job for us, Lord. We need you. Let us be yielded tonight. Let us not hold anything back, Lord, from you. You would have no pleasure in that. Lord, lead us now and guide us. Lord, I realize Brother Moore's got things coming up. Got a very busy schedule, Lord. He's got the Philippines. Different things, Lord. I ask that you would bless my brother. Help him, Lord, as he gets ready. And Lord, when he gets over there, let it be a blessing to all of those people that you want to hear him, Lord. Lord, you will bring those that need to hear. And Lord, I believe that you will bless those people. Lord, let him be safe there and back and keep him healthy, Lord. Be with him and Brother Doug. And Lord, we ask all these things now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. I was reminiscing, and I like doing that sometimes, and I was thinking many years ago, Brother Moore was just a young man. And I probably told this one on him before, but we was down in Hamilton on 5th Street. My dad was a pastor, and I remember, I think Brother Carl Baker came to preach for us a few services, and well, Fairborn back then was, I can't remember everyone that came, but Brother Childers came, Brother Moore came, and this is what I remember. We went out to eat with a few of them at Frisch's, and I remember Brother Moore sitting over there, and I thought, that man don't have much. And he didn't have much money back then, and forgive me for saying it like this, but you know, I felt sorry for him. He didn't even order anything to eat when we went. So I ordered a big plate of French fries that I remember, and I shared those with him. But this is what I wanted to say. That night in service, they asked him up to sing, and we had this old piano sitting over here in the corner. And it's just a very tight pulpit, but he sits down, and about an hour later, he got up. Asked him to come up and sing a song. Well, he testified. Well, he preached is what he ended up doing. Just a young fellow, was a little guy back then. And he tore the house down that night, and I'll never forget that. We're reminiscing, and I just was thinking, I thought, well, Jeremiah was the little fellow, and I think Brother Robbie Robinson's daughter were the two that walked up and was a part of Brother John and Sister Don's wedding. And they've had kids, and look out before too long, time slips by. I don't know why we didn't stop that way back then, but we just didn't do it. But all the children, and I believe our loved ones will be with us. I believe that. And Job was promised that. Job ended up with his children. And I'm just thankful to be here. And Brother Tom had a little accident. Don't look at him. But he didn't mean to do this, but... I think Larry was teasing that Peggy finally got on to him. Got him while he was sleeping, but I'll say this about Brother Tom. I've never seen a man get back up like that, brother. Amen. He's a true soldier. Gets back up. Don't let nothing keep him down. And that's the way we want to be. God bless you. Let's get into our message, and I would have you to turn to St. John, the first chapter. And I guess we refer to these scriptures quite often, and I have listened to some messages. I listened to Brother Moore's message on marriage and divorce, part one and part two, and very blessed by some of the things that come out of that. And so through the message, I may refer to a couple of things. I listened to Brother Jeremiah's message on having a balance.
Amen.
And so Jeremiah read these scriptures, and I want to come back to that and just pray for me that this will go the way that God wants it to go.
Amen.
I like it when God gets involved. Yes, amen. But for message title, I want to call this positioned and centered.
Amen.
With a balance.
Amen.
By God's perfect will.
Amen.
How's that sound?
That sounds pretty good.
Positioned and centered with a balance by God's perfect will. God positioned you. And then He centered you in such a way to where you could see you. And now we've got to keep a balance.
Amen.
Brother Moore was saying we've got a flesh being.
Yeah.
And when God gave you a new birth, you quickly became a twofold being.
Yes, sir.
One to die and one to live.
Yeah.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
A twofold being.
Amen.
Think about that. God gave that to you. And we'll talk a little bit about this, but keeping this thought in mind, we make mistakes in life, okay? And that's by the carnal natural man, makes these mistakes. But let me tell you something, it does not prevent God from fulfilling His perfect will. No one can stop God. You believe that? And I'd like to say this, we've been called by God to follow His perfect will.
Yes, sir.
We've been anointed by God to follow His perfect will.
Amen.
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 We've been properly positioned in this season.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Right.
To carry out God's purpose and His plan for our life.
Right.
Now, this is the only the believer tonight.
Right.
And if I'm a believer, you're listening, you can come on in if you want to and be a part of it. But this is to God's elect. Amen. Now, nothing can harm us or keep us from fulfilling God's purpose and plan in our lives. Nothing can stop us. Now, keep that in mind. Nothing can stop God. Now, St. John 1:1, give me a few minutes if you don't mind. St. John 1:1, in the beginning... I like the beginning, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
There's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end.
Amen.
We had a lot of stuff going on in the middle, but keep your eye on Alpha and Omega.
Yeah.
It'll come out in the end if you do that.
Yeah.
Whatever goes in the ground, it's got to come out in the end.
Amen.
You hold to that truth.
Yeah.
In the beginning was a word. In the beginning was a seed.
Yeah.
What was the word? It was God's original word. It was His original seed. God's perfect will. Can we say that? In the beginning was God's perfect will. And the word, God's perfect will, was with God. And the word, or His perfect will, was God. Are we together on this? So nothing stops God from doing what He wants to do. He don't need no permission from anyone to do what He wants to do, because He is the permission. God is the permission slip. Amen. I don't care where you've been at in life, and I don't care what kind of a background you got, God's got a permission. Amen. I don't care where you, I don't care how wrecked up your life's been.
Amen.
God's got permission. He is the permission.
Amen.
Love you, Jeremiah. Now think about this. Think about the little woman at the well. I got needs to go by Samaria. And you know what? He didn't ask nobody. He didn't need one permission from anybody to go down to a well at the wrong time of the day. He didn't need one permission to go there. He was the permission. And he went down and began to talk to this little woman, and she was what we would call a prostitute. I'll keep it lightly, okay? And he began to talk to this prostitute. You thought about having a messed up life. And he began talking to her and began discerning her heart and told her, you've had five husbands. And the one you're living with now is not yours. Amen. What about that? Amen. Amen? She had a messed up life, but not for very long. He began to talk to her, and she said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Because when he comes, he will tell us things like this. And he said, I'm he. Amen. I'm he. He said, I'll give you water you'll never thirst again. And she said, give me that water. I want that water. That's right, Sister Clarice. I'm hearing you. She wanted that water. She was tired of that life. A messed up life. Not just one or two marriages, but five, and living with one that wasn't hers. Did Jesus need a permission to give her that water? He was the permission. And he gave it to her, and you know what she did? She went to town, and she began to telling her friends, come and see a man that told me everything about my life. Think about that. We was talking about David. Oh, that's a good story. Go back and read it. But read it intently. David messed up. A man after God's own heart messed up. One of the worst mess ups that I've ever read about. One of the worst. And he went and took another man's wife while the man was out fighting for him. Brought her right into his house and slept with her and sent her back home. But something happened. She come up pregnant. David, I've got your child. Uh-oh. The man's out on the field. He started putting a plan together. But his plan did not work. But he put a plan together. We got to get Uriah in here. So he told his general, you bring Uriah home. Bring him to my palace.
That's right.
So he got to talking to him. And he tried to get Uriah to go down and spend the night with your wife.
Right.
We'll just make it simple. And he thought he had it all set up. But when Uriah left, he didn't leave the king's palace. He lay there and slept at the gate with all the other warriors.
Right.
The next morning they told on Uriah, said he didn't go down to the house. David thought, oh boy, what am I going to do now? And he went and talked to Uriah and said, why didn't you go home? Not me. Not when my general and my fellow soldiers are out there on the field fighting and they're sleeping in tents and me go to my house. I won't do that. Not me. Uh-uh. And David said, you stick around another day and I'll set up with you. Got him drunk, hoping he'd go home that night. But it didn't work. Didn't work. He did not go home. So David wrote a letter and sent it by Uriah to the general. Sneaky. Slept with him, got him drunk, tried to get him to go home, trying to hide this whole thing. So he gave a letter, the general opened it up, and he read what it was in. He said, take him to the hottest battle. Stick with him for a little while, then walk away from him. He walked away from him, and Uriah was no match for those big guys. And he got killed. David said, well, we got rid of that. And he quickly went and got Bathsheba and brought her to his house and tried to hide it. But you couldn't hide it from the prophet. When the prophet found out about God told him, said, you go down there and you get on to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you know the story about the sheep. How the rich man had all these sheep. But when the man come by his house, he went over and took his neighbor, the poor man that didn't have nothing. Took his sheep and killed it. David, what would you do to a man like it? Oh, I'd kill him. David, you're that man. But David, listen. God has spared your life. You'll not take your life. What was it that was grace that stepped in? Amen. David was God's permission to David said, you'll not die.
That's right.
What about that? God don't need permission. He is the permission.
Amen.
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 Let's get to verse 14 here. And the Word, God's perfect will, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Nothing can stop God's perfect will from being what it's supposed to be.
Amen.
And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. And listen to what this glory of the Lord is. Word made flesh, but listen what it is. Full of grace and truth.
Amen.
Amen. So the Word of God lets us know that God's perfect will holds both grace and truth.
Yes, it does. Amen.
The same fountain that truth comes from, grace comes from.
Amen.
If you've got Jesus Christ in your life, you've got the same truth and grace that He had.
Amen.
It is the Son of Man on the scene.
Amen.
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 So when the Son of Man came, He brought grace and truth. We could say it like this, He brought a balance.
Yes,
amen. Said we all need a balance. So sometimes we shift a little bit. We lean to the right, we lean to the left sometimes. But forgive this expression, but there are times when we need to be rebalanced.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Branham was the Son of Man ministry, worked through his ministry.
Right.
He brought a balance. You know what that balance does? It moves right on down into the church.
Amen.
Through the ministry.
Amen.
Right on down into the home. We need a balance by love.
Amen.
You get yourself in trouble when you try to force it.
Amen.
And I would say shame on you if you try to force it.
Amen.
God set me down. He got onto me one time because I tried to force something one time. He said, you don't do that. I had to settle down a little bit. But we need a balance sometime to bring us back to the center so that you recognize who you are.
Amen.
Now let's just keep on talking a little bit here. Verse 16, and then of His fullness have we all received. Amen. We were in Him when He was here. We received part of that fullness right then. And grace for grace. And verse 17, for the law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So let's talk a little bit about this. Let's talk a little bit about this grace and truth. And see what it does. It positions us into our day and message.
Amen.
And I'm trying to find a little note here that I had stuck back in my Bible and give me just a second here. And we are just loving the Lord so much, aren't we? Isn't He good to us? But what God does, He centers us so that we recognize who we are. That's what God wants. He wants you to recognize who you are more than anything. One of the greatest revelations, if not the greatest, I would say, is recognizing who you are inside the kingdom. Nothing can stop that. So it keeps us balanced, don't it? I like the balance. Now, let me try to express something, if you don't mind. I've expressed a little bit of this to my church. Now, if you remember in the marriage and divorce, this kind of got my attention. Brother Branham talked about going directly east. Straight ahead, you'll find what you're looking for if you move straight ahead. Now, if I just barely turn my shoes a little bit, just barely, not much, maybe a half inch, watch what happens. Potentially, I'm still facing east. Okay, but watch what happens. I run out of scripture when I did that. So, the balancer, if you don't mind me saying that, we'll just talk a little bit. Let's just relax a little bit. And so we need a balance. The pastor is the balance to the assembly. Husbands, you need to be the balance to your home. But don't forget the key word, love. Love is the key word here. So sometimes we get these attitudes going. You remember what Brother Branham said? You got the legalist and you got the grace. Well, when you get over here on this side, the legalist is pointing at them and saying, I'd like to give them a piece of my mind over here on this side. Right. Amen. And grace is over here saying, well, I can do whatever I want to do. I can smoke. I can drink. I can carry on. Attitude.
Right.
You're dealing with an attitude.
Right.
Amen. Amen. So we got to have a balance. We got to be brought back to the center. The human part's got to be brought back because it thinks it's got to do that. It thinks it's just got to say something. It just got to. So what Brother Moore's doing, I'm just going to pick on him a little bit. What he's got to do, he's got to bring it back to the middle. He's got to get on to this attitude and this attitude. Now let's just pretend back here is who I'm talking to. Attitudes. Legalists and grace. Amen. Now let me read something to you out of that message here. Brother Branham, he goes through this. And he's talking about, and he uses his wife. He said, now what if I'm getting ready to go on a trip? Brother Moore, you're getting ready to go on a trip. And but he gathers together with his family. And he tells his wife, he said, now this is the legalist side. And he says, now, Mrs. Branham, while I'm gone, if I hear one thing that you've even looked at another man, when you get back, you're in trouble. You're a divorced woman. Well, Mr. Brandon, let me tell you something. If while you're gone and you hook up with some floozy, I'm just talking. When you get back home, you're in trouble. And Brother Brandon said, what kind of home would that be? But then you got the other side that says, well, my husband's going on the trip. And he won't mind if I do these things here, see? It's all attitudes. Attitudes. And then Brother Branham explained, now this is what we do. This is how it should be handled. We come together as a family and we pray. And understand that if we would make a mistake, that the other has such a love for the other that they would forgive. I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to go anywheres and make the mistake. But if I did, I know that she would forgive me. But here's the point. I don't want to. That's the right attitude. Let me look at this, read this real quick to you. Marriage and divorce. If filial love, which is a human love, fellowship love, can make a man feel that about his wife, what about the agape love? The Greek word meaning the love of God, how would that make me do about my Jesus Christ? As long as I want to go do it in my heart to do it, I say as long as it's in my heart to do it, I go do it. Legalism won't let me do it. Boy, you're in trouble already. It's because that I knowed I'd get punished for doing it. But the real truth of it is when the love of God comes into your heart till you want to do it. You want to serve the Lord. That's the truth of it. There is where the two schools, not legalism nor Calvinism, it's both. Both brings it to the middle. It brings a balance. So sometimes we have to balance things out. And that's going to happen. You know what? I need balance sometimes. I need to be balanced sometimes. Amen. I make my mistakes. Amen. Now, I'm going to skip on down through a few things here. Now, you don't have to turn to your scripture, but a very familiar scripture. It's in Job chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Very familiar. Now, anything that stems from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, let's just call it the tree of death. Anything that stems from the tree of death will have an end to it.
That's right.
But anything that stems from the tree of life will never end.
Amen.
Cannot end.
That's right.
You cannot stop God.
Amen.
Verse 1, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble.
Amen.
Full of trouble. Amen, Job.
Amen.
He cometh forth like a flower.
Yeah.
And is cut down.
Amen.
He fleeth also as a shadow. Keep that in mind. As a shadow. And continueth not.
Amen.
The man part.
Amen.
Not the God part. The man part.
Right.
So the natural birth left us with a pretty bad situation, didn't it?
Yeah.
That only God can come in and take control of it. Now, I'm going to read a couple things to you. These are just what I call inspirations. Spiritually speaking, only God can move in and properly perform a divorce. Only He can do that.
Right.
To an old soul that's full of death, full of sin,
Amen.
And doubt,
Amen.
And then espouse you to another soul, another nature. A soul that sins shall surely die.
That's right.
Spiritually speaking, under no circumstances could God ever allow Himself to be engaged to someone with a living husband.
Amen.
Won't do it.
Amen.
And be able to remain true to His own word at the same time, He won't do it. God's only provided place of worship. Brother James preached on that. Listen to what Brother Branham says here. Life and death can't associate in the same channel.
Amen.
Or the same house.
Right.
Think about that. Life and death cannot associate. Now, this might be jumping ahead a little bit, but Brother Branham talked about God being the God of the dead and the living. Now, if you look up here, you see the living and you see the dead. But God, He said, let them both grow together. And there will come a time when we will separate that. And when separation time comes, then they can no longer be together. Life and death cannot associate in the same channel or the same house. Church order. Brother Brand says, God never did have two heads to His church. He never did. It's one head. Just one head. Very familiar scripture, Romans 7, verse 1 and verse 2. I know you know this. This is the spiritual that we're talking about here.
Amen.
Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. How that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. In verse 2, now let's break this down a little bit. The woman, or the spirit, which hath an husband, has an old soul or has an old nature, is bound by the law to her husband.
Amen.
Right. She's bound to that old nature.
Right.
So long as he liveth.
Amen.
But if that husband, if that sinful nature be dead,
right.
Not divorced,
Amen.
But dead,
yeah.
She is loose. I looked that word up, and that means destroyed.
Amen.
God does it right, don't He?
Yes,
loose from the law of her husband.
That's right.
Questions and answers. So let's just prove what we're saying here. I know I don't have to prove this to you. You've been taught. I'm preaching to the choir. Questions and answers. The soul is the nature of that spirit. That when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it changes or converts your spirit to a different nature, to a
Amen.
Different soul.
Amen.
And that soul is a different nature that's on that spirit. So the soul is a nature of your spirit.
Amen.
So when God divorces something, He doesn't put it on the shelf over here and say, you can go pick that man up anytime you want. God don't do that. When God does something, He does it right. When God divorces something, He takes and annihilates it. And then He puts it into the sea of His forgiveness because He's a jealous God. He cleans the slate. He gets rid of it. You better thank God. You better thank God for that permission. If all you got is a bill of divorcement, then there's still remembrance. There's still that old nature still hanging around. There's still a remembrance of all the sin that God could have put into a seal for forgetfulness. But God don't hand out a bill of divorcement. He gives you a bill of rights. You might say it that way. Romans 8 and 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Has made me free from the law of sin and death. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 11 2, you don't have to go to all these scriptures, but I'm just going to quote a few. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2, for I am jealous over you. With a godly jealous. For I have espoused you. I have engaged you. To one husband. That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. The only way that the church could have ever been presented to Christ as a chaste virgin was by the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. God knows what He's doing. When the Holy Spirit and power comes to the inside, it takes and burns out everything contrary to Him. And makes your place a fit place for Him to come in and be that loving husband. Only God can do that. Isaiah 1 and 18. You'll like this, I hope. Isaiah 1 and verse 18. Come now. Let us reason together about this. Let's talk about this one right here. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, though your sins be as scarlet, by that first nature, they shall be white as snow to your second nature. Hallelujah. I love that one. Amen. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Amen. Listen to the future home. You know, I thought this was the longest message Brother Branham preached, but I think it was a mystery of Christ revealed. Brother Branham says he's a justified man, sanctified him, sent the Holy Ghost and fire and burnt the sin out of him, and dwelt in him himself. He does the earth that He's going to use in a plan of redemption the same way. It repented and was baptized in water by Noah. Jesus came and sanctified it by dripping His blood upon it and claimed it. You better be glad that God claims you. And in the new earth that is to come is to have a holy fire baptism to clean it of every devil. Every germ, every sickness, everything that there is, and make it anew. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And listen to this. You become a new person. Amen. Brother Branham says amen. Not just an old one passed up. God don't give you a bill of divorcement like hand you a piece of paper. No, it's a brand new person. Not one passed up by joining church or trying to turn a new page. They think they got it all figured out, but you don't turn a new page. But you are a complete brand new unit. Amen? Just don't talk about the government right now. Let's just keep moving. Too much to say about that. Now listen to what he does here. Brother Branham says, God takes the old man and burns him completely out. with the Holy Ghost and fire. That's how God does it.
Amen.
And comes himself, sends down your representation. God comes down. God is your representation now. Not the old husband. God is. I love that representation. Psalms 139 verse 14. I think you'll like this one. David said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Are you fearfully and wonderfully made? Marvelous are thy works, Lord.
Yes.
When you do it right.
Amen.
And that my soul knoweth right well. The old soul couldn't know right well. God gave you a new soul that you could recognize the real you.
Amen.
And recognize it right well.
Amen.
Right well. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes, yes.
So God, let's talk about God as a perfect will. He has a permissive will. Although God may give permission to do things, it doesn't mean that it's based on His original will. Let's remember that. Aside from God's perfect will, He has the ability to give permission to do things. God, based on conditions. He has a way of helping things.
Yes, he does.
We make a mess of things, and we know that we do.
Yes.
But God has a way to get you out of the mess.
Yes.
To help you to be able to live as better Christians.
Yes.
It's what He did for the little woman at the well.
Right.
He helped her.
Amen.
And then calls a permissive will, or the permission.
Amen.
To work out for the good of His perfect will.
Amen.
That's my God. Old Balaam, they couldn't figure out why God said one thing and said something different. Well, God had a perfect will. He had a permissive will. In the beginning, we're back to the beginning. God set man upon free moral agency to make choices in life. Bear with me on this statement here. God gave man permission. Way back then, gave him permission. Or he gave him his permissive will. And he turned around and blessed it, Brother Moore. He blessed it. Based on free moral agency, Adam and Eve made a choice to bypass the tree of life. And God blessed it. I was doing some scribbling the other day, you can see. But I wrote some things down. We bypassed quite a few things. We bypassed our right nature. We bypassed freedom. We bypassed our right husband. We bypassed the Holy Ghost. We bypassed the tree of life. The list just goes on and on and on. We bypassed things after things. But there come a time where God took that switch from bypass and flipped it back over to the tree of life and closed that chasm up. Doesn't mean the tree of life wasn't there. We bypassed it though. God turned the bypass off. Amen? Let me read something here in Brother Branham's message here. Does God ever change His mind about His Word? So we see God does not forever change His mind about His original Word. But, and if the people won't walk in His perfect will, He does have a permissive will He'll let you walk in. Notice He permits it all right, but He will make it work out for His glory in His perfect will. God knows what He's doing. Just like in the beginning, it was not God's perfect will for children to be born on the earth through sex. No, sir. Now, we know God. We know what God really wanted. He needed the fall. He needed that. But He come up with a plan. I was thinking about this today, Brother Moore. Remember when he said, let us make man in our image after our likes? He made the spirit man first. And then he gets together and he comes to his own council and he says, hey, let's do something. This spirit man's pretty good, but we got to do something because we got all these attributes in us that we need to push out. So we need to come up with a plan. God's plan. And so he said, let's make a man. Let's do something no different. He plumbed man. The second man was different. And so God made that. And then he put him on free moral agency so that he would make the choice. God knowing he would do it. So it was not God's perfect will for children to be born on the earth through sex. No, sir. God created man out of the dust of the earth, breathed the breath of life into him. He became a living soul. So his plan was working out. He took from that man a helpmate and made a wife to him. She was the weaker vessel. That was God's first and original will. But when sin come in and did the thing that it did, it did what it was supposed to do. You know God created his own enemy? Then he permitted man to marry a wife legally and have children by her. He permitted it. Multiply and replenish the earth then after they went and done it. If that's the way you're going to do it, go ahead and do it that way. So God went ahead and blessed it. But you see, it never was his perfect will. Do you know that we all come in the world the same way? We were all put inside of a box that had us in prison. Amen. And I don't care what was in the box, we were all guilty of it.
That's right.
But God broke the chains of death and he delivered us out of the box.
Amen.
And I don't care what you've ever done in life, if you accepted Lord Jesus Christ, you accepted your pardon from that.
That's right.
Amen. If that's the way you're going to do it, go ahead and do it. God blessed it. Therefore, all these things that had a beginning has to have an end. God started it, he will end it. All sin has to come to annihilation. You better thank God that he got rid of that old man. And we still have issues. We're going to make mistakes. And we know we make mistakes. We know we do it. But God's already taken care of his elect.
Amen.
All sin has to be done away with, Brother Branham says. Let's get some of those quotes. Now, let's talk a little bit about types and chattels. You can't live on types and chattels and have a balance. Can't do it. You'll never come to a clear understanding by living on a shadow, types. You won't do that. You've got to go beyond that.
Amen.
Types and shadows only point to something that's greater.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Now, Jesus brought an end to the law, to the works of the law. Brother Branham comes up here, the Son of Man ministry up here, brings an end to this shadow here and brings us into the perfect light of our day. Think about that. Son of Man both times did that. In order to live by what's real, you have to come to the greater. That, you can't live by that right there. You got to live by what's the greater. Greater is beyond the church ages. We've been snatched out of the church ages, brothers and sisters. We're beyond the church ages now. We've been called up to a higher level.
Yes, sir.
But it's only for the believer. It's only for the elect.
Amen.
The dead stay behind. The shuck is pulled back and the grain is left the shuck.
Amen.
You know where we're standing at now, don't you?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
So God's good, isn't he?
Amen.
To bring you to the real you.
Amen?
Amen. You got to go beyond the types and the shadows to come to the reality.
That's right.
And I ask the question here, what is reality? Reality is recognizing the real you. Brother Moore was trying to get in on the message a little bit by saying that we have to deal with this flesh man. You've got to go beyond. There's something much greater than the flesh. And that's that man in there. That's the greater. To God, you're more than just a shadow. You're more than just a type.
That's right.
To God, you're more than just a permissive will.
Amen.
Amen. When the shadow meets the real you, then the shadow goes away.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Branham said it like this. When my shadow was coming to me, when my shadow and I meet, my shadow is no more. But I took the place of my shadow. Amen? We took the place of the church ages. But everyone in that church ages is with us. You don't have the cloud. But that cloud is a very important thing. It happened in 1963. It showed that we went beyond the shadow. Amen? God pulled it all together. Read Ephesians 1 and 10. Read that. Listen, Hebrews 10 and 1. Let's read a few scriptures here. Hebrews 10. For the law having a shadow of good things to come. Let me read that again. The law having a shadow of good things. That means there's some good things coming after the shadow. And not the very image of the things. So the law was only a shadow, but not the actual image that was to come. The law was permitted by God, but it was not His perfect will. It was permitted because that's what man wanted. We'll finish reading verse 1. Can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers there into perfect. We can never come to a perfect understanding of who we are by the working of a permissive will, by only a shadow. Verse 2, for then why? Then, for then would they not have ceased to be offered? If we could come to our real self, then we would just kept offering it, wouldn't we? Because that worship that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, inside the shadow of good things to come, there is a remembrance again of sins every year. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. The shadow couldn't do that for you. Verse 5, wherefore, when He cometh into the world, now we're talking about truth and grace now. He saith, sacrifice and offering would thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. It wasn't God's will for man to live and conduct himself by the works of the law. A shadow cannot do for you what the Son of Man can do for you. It cannot do for you what truth and grace can do by God's love. Verse 6, and burnt offerings and sacrifice for sins thou hast had no pleasure. If you're hanging on a shadow, God's got no pleasure in that. Verse 7, then said I, now this is grace and truth talking, lo, I come. That includes me and you.
Amen.
We come in the volume of the book.
That's right.
It is written of me. It's written of all of us.
That's right.
To do thy will. What is God's will? It's His perfect will.
Amen.
Forget about the shadow. Forget about all your problems and know this. You've come to the will of God.
Amen.
You've come to that. You've come to His perfect will.
Amen.
Verse 8 above, when He said, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said He, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first. Amen. He took away that old nature. He took away that first husband.
Amen.
so that he could establish the second one, so that he could establish himself, so that he could establish the real you. In verse 10, by which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, give me just a few more minutes. The gospel in its simplicity lets us see who we are. It lets us see that we are called. It lets us see that we are His elected. The simplicity of God. The simplicity of God's not up here. The simplicity of God comes down here to your level. Amen. That's God's greatness. Not up here. It comes down here. God is simple. He's simplicity. So that we can see and recognize who we are. The outside man, he's only a shadow. He's only a reflection of the good one to come. It's only temporal. Brother Branham said this, the earthly things only express what the eternal things are. You hear that? The shadow only expresses what the eternal thing is. Amen. This outside guy, that's all he can do. But he should do it. Amen. Shalom. God is in man. And he's identifying himself today in his church. In the born again Christian, God identifies. Amen. That was born of flesh is flesh. That was born of the Spirit is spirit. That's right. That which is born of the Spirit is the Christian. Right. Brother Branham said Christianity is a person. Amen. Right. Himself, that he remains God. Amen. And the outside world, I like this one here. There's an outside world and there's an inside world. Right. The outside world will only know God as they see God in you and I.
Right.
Amen. Amen. They can only see God by the outside. Because Jesus said, the world shall never see me no more, but ye will.
That's right.
We have the understanding. We're on the inside, and only the elect is on the inside.
Right.
And the only way the outside can see it and be nice to us is by what we do.
Right.
Now, I was at a department store here several weeks ago, and there's a couple of items I picked up I wanted to buy. And so I felt like we might have been in a little hurry to get gone. You know, we wanted to pay for it and get on out. So Lisa had walked on outside. Better was waiting for me. But I went to this cash register and I thought, there ain't nobody around here. So I have to walk all the way over here to this other cash register. Well, when I get there, there's a young lady up there and she's paying for her stuff. So I stand back here and I thought, And not with the wrong spirit. I said, look at her. She's got these shorts on that's way up here. She's tattooed. She's got these earrings. She's got all this stuff on her. But all of a sudden, something raised up in me. Said she's got a soul. She's got a soul. And so I thought, Lord, she's got a soul. So she was paying for her stuff. And when she paid for it, she got so much back in change on a little card, whatever you call that. But anyways, when I walk up to pay for my stuff, she turns around and said, sir, would you like to have this? I said, thank you. $1.92 left on that little card, and she walked off. I said, God bless you.
Amen.
No one over here at this cash register. I had to come over here purposely.
Amen.
God knows what He's doing because she needed to serve me.
Amen.
I believe I'll get to see her again someday. Amen. Let me tell one more. We was in this mall, and we was walking. We go down this mall, and we walk, and there's this little shop. It's called The Lids. So they had these hats on sale, and they was only $5. So I went in there and I bought me one of these hats, Brother Moore. I get home and I thought, man, I'm going to try that hat on. And it's got one of those things the guy forgot to take off of it. Whatever they call it. At least said, don't dare to take that off of there. Because it'll bleed. Yeah. So we waited, and the next time we went down there, I walked there, and the same guy was there. Now, I'm going to back the truck up a little bit. When I bought that hat, that guy was just, he wasn't smiling. You know, I thought, I like to see people smile. I said, who's going to win the game? He said, who day? But never smiled one bit. Well, it bothered me when I walked out of the store. I thought, that guy didn't even smile at me. So we take the hat back, and behold, the same guy's there at the cash register. And I walked up, and he apologized, and I said, the Bengals won, didn't he? And he laughed and smiled real big. And that's what I wanted to see. But God allowed him to keep that, whatever you think you call that thing on that hat, so that I could see him again and give him a second chance to do something good for me. All I wanted to see was a smile. I believe he'll be there. Amen. So the outside world needs to see our good. You do your best. If we fall down, get back up. That's just how simple it is. That's the only way that they'll know God. Amen. That's the only way that they'll have a chance to do something for you.
Amen.
Is when we are written epistles, epistles of the Scripture, we are read of all men. Now, I'm going to read through this kind of quick. And the life that we live reflects what's on the inside of us. A man is identified by his work. The outside man is identified by his works.
Amen.
So our work should be good.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
Always good because we are representing our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
What a wonderful thing that is.
Amen.
Especially when an old man like me stand up here. Now, Brother Brandon was probably 54, 55 years old. I'm 68. I'm reading this tonight. And think of the light that is fading away.
Amen.
That's gone in the past. And we're facing a future of an eternity. And knowing if this life only is what I had hopes in, if all we had hopes in was just a reflection, just a shadow, we would be most men miserable. I would be the most miserable person this morning if all I had hopes was in this guy. But knowing that this life has only been a shadow of what we had to come to, it's a reflection because it can be, and listen to this, it's a reflection because it cannot be the perfect thing that God has made. God doesn't make anything that perishes. God is eternal. And therefore, this life that we now live is only reflecting what is ahead of us. Amen. The real one that cannot die. The body that cannot perish. The life that cannot be taken. See? And therefore the Scripture is right. When it says that we have everlasting life, we have eternal life. We shall never die. Amen. Maybe we'll get some music. When you are born of God, you become a part of God.
That's right.
You are forever for eternity. Never to fail. You are part of God because you're His son. Are you happy?
Amen.
We're sons and daughters of God.
Right.
We've met the real thing now.
Amen.
Let's stand and rejoice for a moment. Get the key of A if you would. David? Love you, buddy. Let's get David a mic over there because he's going to need it. I want to sing, I Claim the Blood. I have a source of strength when I am weak that takes me through when life is pressing me. I have a source of power from above. I'm covered over
by
a shield of love.
Now sing it to him.
I claim the blood
Jesus
shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains
were laid there
just for me. Sickness and my pain.
When
I need healing,
I just claim those
precious blood stains. I do not know
That was good. I thoroughly enjoyed that. Because you know what? The permissive will and the perfect will, I love talking about that anyway. But in tonight's message, you know what I realized? That my soul is part of the perfect will of God.
Man, that's it.
I mean, we're trying to get back to the perfect will, but you've already got back. to the perfect will. That soul that came from God is now manifesting on the earth.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, my flesh and my spirit realm are still in the permissive.
Yeah. Right.
But as far as I'm concerned, all that he called,
okay.
He justified. See, I don't have to worry about the flesh and the spirit realm. People spend so much time worrying about the flesh and spirit. I'm already in the perfect will of God.
Amen.
Who I am was who God saw from before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Before the permissive came into play, God already saw me.
Right.
I was coming anyway.
Amen.
I'm here.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my.
Thank you.
I am not living in God's permissive will.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you hear that?
Yeah. Amen.
I am not living in God's permissive will.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, we always think, you know, well, God's got a perfect and a permissive, perfect and permissive. And we always think, you know, oh, we're all here because of God's permissive will. No. That was before my birth.
That's right.
That was given until his perfect will.
That's right.
Well, at my new birth, the perfect will of God manifested in this house.
Amen.
Because think about it. When we get our glorified body, we're not going to change our soul. When we get our theophany, we're not going to change our soul. The soul is already perfect.
Amen.
It's just as perfect as it's ever going to be.
Amen.
This is exactly what God saw from before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
I'm here now.
Yeah.
There's no stopping me now. I am the perfect will of God on earth.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
All he's going to do is transfer me to another body. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, if this permissive will, when this permissive will be dissolved. And you know I can say when? Because I've already been born again.
That's right.
My new birth guaranteed me a glorified body. Oh my. All right. I got to go home and look that up. Yes, sir. You gotta look at it the way God. I gotta go home and look at that. I gotta go to Brother Peterson Sunday night. You got me all messed up. I was like, I gotta go home and look this up because I am now living in the perfect will of God.
Amen.
You say, but you got problems. You're here and you got this, you got that. No, that's my flesh and my spirit. That ain't me. Like Brother Allen just said, I gotta look at it the way God looks at it. I am not going to be any more perfect than I am tonight.
Amen.
I'm not. Remember, the real you is not your flesh. The real you is not your spirit. That's just a shell, a housing. That's where you live. But the real thing about a house is who lives in it. So it doesn't even matter now. It doesn't matter where I'm in this house or my glorified. It doesn't matter if I'm in this house or my theophany. It still is me. The real thing that God was coming to fix, he already did it. Oh, y'all might not be happy about it, but I am so turned on about that. It is so balanced and it's so perfect. And you know, all it did was made me more solid. Because it doesn't matter what house I live in. As long as I live, you know, think about it. As long as you live, it doesn't really matter where you live. I mean, you can live in a rich house, or you can live in a poor house. But the real thing is that you're living. The real thing here is it doesn't matter whether I'm living in a body that's all in shape and ready to just, you know, or if I'm overweight, can't do nothing, and just broke down, it doesn't matter. But I'm living. The perfect part of me is never, ever going to change again.
Amen.
Brother Allen, I've already stepped into the perfect will of God.
Amen.
He said, what about your house? I'm going to shed this thing. I'm going to shed this thing. But the real me is I am living in the perfect will of God. Now, that's a hard thing to say. Like Paul said, no longer I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. Oh, it runs with so many scriptures. I got to go home. I got to go get ready for Sunday, Brother Allen. You get from me, I get from you. And I didn't know what I was going to take to London, Ohio. No, now I do. I can't wait to get in that book. Oh, my goodness. It's been a good service. I enjoyed myself.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Allen. Thank you all for coming with him. It was an amazing service. And we got close because I got things to go look up. Now, it's good to have you here. Good to have the Covey brothers. Good to have you all here, and all of you, it's like family, because, I've known everybody here for a long time, and it's good to be able to get together. So you pray for us now. I don't think they did announcements, so our announcements for our local assembly, and you're welcome to hear them too, but on Sunday, we're leaving here at 9, going to London, Ohio, to Brother Peterson's church, and have service there at 10. So we have to get out of here at 9, because I guess it's about 15-minute window. So please be here between 8:45 to 9, because Jeremiah will be nervous and putting people in cars, and because we want to take as few cars as we can. So we want to do that Sunday. Remember Brother Jay, he's sick. I went to see him today. Just keep him in your prayers. And remember Sister Donna, she's had surgery today and should be on a recovery, so pray for her. Always remember Trevor. He's got more things he's going through. Remember that family. Tina's amazing. Just remember her. She's a mom. She's dealing with all these things, and she's got to be the strong person to hang in there. But when she's working and doing these things, she got to actually move that motherhood out of the way so she can be the nurse. And so just keep her in your prayers and the family there. And pray for me. You don't know this. Well, you know it now. And I'm going to the Philippines. I'm going where I bought the tickets last night, so no turning back now.
Right.
Brother Doug Allen and I are going. I was going to go, because I know Brother Victor and Brother June to take care of me, but family here, they don't want me to go by myself. So Doug's going with the. I went on a trip with Doug this week, and he looked at me and said, I'm going to go to the Philippines with you. I'm like, well, praise God. Okay. So we will be taking off on April 3rd, and the meeting for Brother June is April 6th and 7th. And then I'm going to preach his Easter Sunday service. He's going to be in Hong Kong on Easter service. So he asked me to preach his Sunday morning Easter service. And then Monday we fly down to Victor, and we're going to preach Monday and Tuesday at Victor's, and then come back Wednesday, fly home Thursday. So you pray for that trip. We're going to have a lot of things. That's going to be a lot going on there. And don't also remember, we've moved our Easter service. This is how all this all sort of happened. Brother Tony or Jubisa is coming, and he will be here Palm Sunday. So we're going to have our Easter service that weekend. So he's going to be here. So our Easter service is going to be on the 1st and 2nd of April. So he's going to be preaching Saturday night and Sunday morning, and then we'll have dinner after church Sunday afternoon, and then no more services for that day. So there's a lot of moving parts, and I told him he's staying with me, and I said, well, we're going to have one of the brothers take you to the airport matter of fact, you can take me to the airport because I leave Monday, he leaves Tuesday. So just pray. There's a lot of things going on. See why I said I was nervous? There's a lot of moving parts, and it's hard to sort of coordinate a meeting on the other side of the world when you're on this side. So we got all that worked out. So God bless them, and they're going to be flying some brothers in from Mindanao, and they've got ministers coming from other places, and brothers in Manila, they're going to be getting together there. So there's going to be a lot of interaction there, and I think it'll be good because, sometimes You got to get somebody from the outside to come in to bring people together when they've got their own little bickers, battles, and they can't get along too well, but they love you. So, you know, they'll all come together under one roof. And I pray that while I'm there, I can help mend some of that disagreement while they have over there. And I think that's one of the reasons I've gone. Brother Victor said I haven't been there in 15 years, so I think it's about time. So, amen. Amen. So let's stand. And Jeremiah, did I forget something? This Sunday evening we will not have service. Yes. Covey's. No Sunday evening, sir. Thank you. And it's been a good service. And I pray that you all have a safe trip back home. And we'll do this again. I know everybody had their own Easter services, but if you're welcome to come to either part or all or whatever you want to do when our service is coming up. So, amen. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We do. We've got the power. It's been given on us. You want to say anything, Brother Covey? I just get ready to close this up. I looked up, I thought you might want to say at least greet and say hello.
Amen.
You don't get this out in the world.
No, you don't.
You don't get this out in the world. Whenever I heard Brother Jerry was coming tonight, I told Mike, I said, boy, we're excited. We got to come hear something good.
Oh, yeah.
And, boy, I tell you, you know what both of you said, how you just feeling down and just how that devil just worked with you. This week I felt that. I just felt like a dark cloud all over me, and I kept wondering why. And me and my brother, we've got a neighbor, been a good friend of ours for years. He's in hospice. And we went in hospice a couple days ago. And since then, I just felt that darkness all over me. And I got to thinking when we had walked in there, I had felt just that presence of just death all over the place. And then my brother said, boy, look at all the death around here, you know, since I thought that. And I got to thinking how that this is who we are, like you say, we're just going to switch bodies. Mm-hmm. And I got to looking at every room as we were walking through hospice. And I'm just seeing people right there at death's door. And I'm wondering, what door are they going to walk into?
Right.
You know? And, you know, here we have our theophanies just here in this room right now.
Yes.
Calling us. And can you imagine? I remember this. I'll say this about Brother Nord. When he was in the hospital or in hospice, I got to thinking back then. I thought, you know what? Out of all the people in here, these pest houses, what we'd call them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, what is waiting just right there?
Right there.
Yeah, or right there mm-hmm. for these people. Mm-hmm. And we knew, you know, where Brother Homer's going.
Mm-hmm.
But I just got to thinking, every one of them people, when we were walking through there, I thought, what's going to drag them out of this world? Are they going to be dragged down into hell, weeping and wailing? And I thought, you know what? Me and my brother, being sons of God, we'd have the authority and the power just to step in one of them rooms and just say, God bless you. And I was thinking how that, why that darkness was on me and that oppression was that here, we're light
right.
walking through the darkness,
amen.
Which we were moving,
that's
brother.
Right.
We were light that was moving
that's
through
right.
all that darkness. Amen. And all them demons had to be hiding behind them doors scared because there was sons of God on the scene.
That's right.
And we walked right by them doors and we were an opportunity for them,
that's
you
right.
know. But there will come a time when you can't cry out. Because they might have been laying there and say, oh, if I could just speak,
mm-hmm.
I could say, hey, I see that light going through there. Stop, light, come
mm-hmm.
back to me. But there will come a day when you'll want to go to church
right.
and you won't be able to.
That's right.
And I tell you, we wanted to come tonight. And I hate to say this about real good friends, but we were pulling out of our neighborhood to come to church because we had an opportunity. And as we're pulling out, we had a friend of ours pulling in that we passed. So we thought, he's a friend. We love him. So I called him. I said, hey, we just passed you. We're heading to church. Would you like to come? He could have said yes,
mm-hmm.
and he could have said no. And what do you think he said, since it's just me and him came?
Right.
You see? But we wouldn't miss it for nothing,
mm-hmm.
because we know what it means. We know what it means. Now, we're going to take this light. We're going right back out in that dark world.
Right.
And you think
Amen.
That world's going to be dark when we're walking in it? Not where we're going to be.
Uh-huh.
And I tell you, oh, my gosh, I should have walked up here. But you know what? There's such an atmosphere that is literally priceless.
It is.
And you're standing in it right now.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jerry, for that.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You. Thank you for that tonight. That was really good. And if you like, let's just have a word of dismissal prayer, if that'd be okay. Heavenly Father, Lord, we count it more than a privilege. Lord, like I say, we've got a neighbor there just laying there at death's door, Lord. And God, I know I went before your throne this week when I knew he was that bad. And I was telling you all the good things he'd done for me. And Lord God, I'm so glad that you sent Jesus, Lord, to plead the blood over me and to shed that blood and to say things to you about me and to be that attorney for me that represents me to you and says he's clean, he's welcome in. Yeah. So Lord, we just can't thank you enough for what all you do for us. And Lord, if we ever just overlook something that you've done for us, please stop us and let us just turn back and look and see what you've done. We give you all the praise and the glory, and we pray that you'd take that traveling mercy, Lord, with these preachers, yes. Lord, wherever they go. Lord Jesus, you're with them. And God, just bless the people out there. And we love you. We give you the thanks and the praise and the thanksgiving, Lord. We thank you for this building here, God. And we thank you for the freedom that we can still worship you. On the way over here, my brother said there's going to come a day, he was telling our friend on the phone, there's going to come a day you'll want to come to church and you won't be able to. So, Lord Jesus, just grant us, Lord, if you grant us tomorrow, Lord, let us stand up in your stead, Lord. In Jesus' name, go with us. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother.
Amen. You know, he was talking, and I was sort of, what he was saying and what Brother Allen was saying was hitting me. It's like, he's sitting there walking down. Brother Allen actually went back to the store to get a man to smile at him. Just a smile.
Look at that. Simple.
And he said, I'll see him again.
Right.
We don't realize how easy it is.
Amen.
You know, when you're walking through that nursing home,
thank you, Lord.
Stepping in one of those rooms and having someone just smile at you could make all the difference. All the difference. And we need to understand who we are.
You're right.
Who we really are. And let that guide your footsteps. Because if somebody can get in with a dollar what?
92.
$1.92. Could you imagine putting in a newspaper? Free entrance to heaven for $1.92. A sale. But you know what? That was more than what Jesus said had to. He said, just a glass of water. You can get that from the river. It's free. But the thing is, Christ is in us. And when we're interacting at the nursing home or the hospital or the work or the store, that's Christ walking in there giving people an opportunity for eternal life. And we take it for granted because we have it. It's just, you know, but give it out. Don't be stingy. Look for the smile. Look for the opportunity. Look for somebody to do something for you. Because as you've done it unto these, to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. Amen. I got close. Yes. Okay, thank you. Brother Mike Allen, God bless you, sir. You want to say anything? I would feel bad if I didn't at least give you the opportunity. I know everybody says, well, we already prayed, it's time to go home. We don't have no order that way. we got time. Come on up. Yeah, come on. He came and preached for us recently, and we thoroughly enjoyed him. And I would feel bad if I didn't at least give him a chance to say something.
Amen.
Come all this way.
God bless you, sir.
Love you too. Amen. Family here. What did I say? There are 10 Allens here right now?
Yeah, literally.
Or was Allen, but married and changed her name that way.
All right.
But no, I was thinking of who we are. And this is kind of a preview for Little Bethlehem coming up. So, but I've been studying Esther quite a bit. You know, Esther, she went in to the king. She became his wife. She consummated the marriage, went back out. And you know what? Satan started persecuting her.
Oh, yeah.
And Mordecai came and said, you're going to have to do something.
Yeah.
You know what? She still didn't realize who she was.
No.
She was afraid to go into that presence of the
Amen.
King. How many times do we not know who we are and we're afraid to go into his presence when Satan
right.
is persecuting us?
That's right.
When he's coming against us, when he's telling us that we're no good, when he's telling us that we're a failure, when he's telling us that we're nothing,
right?
And we're afraid to go into that presence, and all she had to do was walk into that presence.
Amen.
And held out
yes,
that's
he did.
Come on.
Oh, yes. Half the kingdom.
Oh, I like that.
So I'll take half, you take half, and what you say will be.
Amen.
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 Who are we?
Well,
what are we?
Yeah.
What is our privileges tonight?
That's right.
Come on.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. If we only realize who we are.
Amen.
And we're that privilege and we're that presence. And you know what? She said later when the Haman had that, Satan put that decree out at the beginning mm-hmm. in the garden. When Eve fell, mm-hmm. there was the law that all man would die.
Right.
And she came before the king and said, undo that law. And he said, I can't, but I give you permission to speak against the law, to
right.
come against the law, to step into the new life,
sure.
and to step into eternal life. And you arm yourself with my word. And he gave her the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That scepter.
Amen.
That ring.
Amen.
You make the decree. Whatever's bothering you tonight, whatever Satan's telling you you're not, you make the decree against
that's
him.
It. Amen.
That's right.
It's in you.
Amen.
Who are we?
Okay.
Who are we?
Amen.
We're either her. What he said, you maybe you were made for such a time as this.
Such a time.
I say, you are here for such a time as this.
Yes, sir.
Not maybe, not hope so, but now is your time.
Amen.
You step forth.
Amen.
Amen.
Well,
bless you all.
Well.
Now, see, if I didn't listen to God, y'all wouldn't have got that. We've got the power. It's in your hands. Yeah. Yeah. Sit down, everybody, for a second, and then we'll get you out of here. You need a microphone. Where's the? Oh, there it is.
We were in Chicago. There was one little thing that I was kind of, I wasn't scared, but we got into this Uber ride, and the guy, there were four of us, and they knew that there were four of us, and he wouldn't move his stuff in the front seat, and he wanted all of us to sit in the back seat. And Belinda, she was so professional, and I was just taken aback that someone wasn't, he said, you guys are going to just fit back there. He wasn't very professional. And Belinda, Sister Belinda goes up there and she's like, now, sir, I'm just going to have to ask you nicely to move your things and we'll tip you well. And, you know, and he was like, like throwing his stuff from one side to the other in the front seats. And, you know, bless her heart, she had to sit up there with him. And it was just kind of radio silence. If it was me, left up to me, I probably would have just said, hey, we'll get another Uber. You know, that's fine. You know, be on your way. And so we're driving. We just have a 5-minute drive. And Sister Judy, she goes, are you having a bad day? You know? And he was like, what? He goes, yeah, you know? And by the end of it, she had got him to giggle. And, you know, and I was just thinking about these stories about who we are, you know? And it does take a smile. It does take a glass of water. It does take a little act. But sometimes we can bring out something else, you know, and I thought that was beautiful. And I mean, just, I don't know.
That's who we are. Amen. Let's stand. We've got the power. Amen. God bless you. Come again. Amen. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Oh, those Satan rages, we cannot be defeated.